podcast is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory. This podcast is also rated R and F. The F is for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record labeling as a motherfucking crew. And if you don't do that with Whitey, then fuck you too.
Bonfire!
Yeah. Welcome, bienvenue, another episode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, a.k.a. MrShutUpPodcast.com, a.k.a. Le Grand Papa B, a.k.a. the Canadian Controversial Negro, a.k.a. Gaston Lucien Big Daddy Labrador.
Hey. Hey.
I kind of messed up the intro just a little bit. All right, today's date is not July 8th. Today's date is July 12th. Let me fix that. July 8th was when I initially intended to record this episode. But no, today is July 12th. Sunday, July 12th. That's right. Controversial. Recording on the Sabbath. And we're at episode 354, 354. And today I'll be talking about... I'm going to reminisce on how church didn't help the negative views or the shame that I used to have as a Haitian, for Haiti or being a Haitian. But before we do any of that, we're going to start with some, quotables and some randomness. All right, quotables. This is where I share quotes that I that showed up on my timeline, and I felt got my attention, and I felt were worthy of being shared with you, the customer. All right, the first one goes: time is not an apology. Forgot to mention I got four of them, so this is the first one. Time is not an apology, and the I'm not sure if they're the author, but they're associated to Dr. Caroline Leaf. Right. I get all these self-help quotables on my timeline, and I don't know, man. It's like I can't tell if social media is thinking that, oh, you like that kind of shit, or hey, don't jump, nigga, or whatever. All right. Next one. This one is by Asada Shakur. More political, and it goes, nobody in history has ever gotten their freedom by appealing to the moral sense of the people who were oppressing them.
Message.
Asada Shakur. All right, next one. Damn, another political one by Patrice Lumumba, and it goes, they call us savages because we have refused to be slaves. History will decide who the real savages are.
Message.
Yes. And kind of relate to what I'll be talking about in today's final say. But yes, RIP Patrice Lumumba. Last quote is, don't hate yourself for the decisions you made when you didn't have the knowledge you have now.
Message.
Powerful. All right, that's it for quotables. Now let's share some randomness.
So you're a philosopher?
Yes.
Okay. All right. It's a question that popped up on Reddit in the Reddit podcast section, and the person who posted it, I think, is into marketing, but I like the question. It goes, what's your main message to your podcast? If you could strip down your entire podcast into one message, and I like that question because it gave me time to reflect on what mine is. And off the cuff, the first thing that came to mind is, I have something to say. As in, shut up, I have something to say. And it's a big deal for someone like me, considering how I spent most of my life being silent or telling people what they wanted to hear. Seen but not heard. It's kind of like, maybe it's kind of, this podcast is my outlet. It's my, this is the noise. These are the words behind that silence. Yeah. What does that mean? I don't know. Maybe I'll update my about us, but yeah, progress.
So you're a philosopher?
Yes.
Next one is, all right, for those of you asking, again, I know I'm, some of you have been losing sleep asking about, hey, how you been feeling since you removed the molar from your, you removed your molar, and I was going to say from your mouth, where else, from my ass, and it's, I'm doing way better, way better. It's, I'm doing the 12-step program, and I'm like 3 days without needing to use painkillers. Yeah, I feel like this is the most painkillers I've ever consumed in my life. I was telling that to one of my homegirls, and she like, oh, poor Muffin. She goes, yeah, holler at me when you have a period. And I'm like, oh, that bad. Anyways, I only mention this because, well, I'm still not fully recovered. I mean, I can't eat popcorn yet. I can try, but it's taking a risk. I might rip something. But the beauty is I can smoke weed and drink alcohol again, which, oh my God, great weekend. And the only thing I'm going to say about this experience is how much it familiarized me with pain. Now, I'm not saying that it was extreme, excruciating pain. I'm talking about the discomfort, the idea that someone out there is feeling pain on a constant basis. I was lucky in the sense that I could just take some painkillers. Painkillers to make it go away. When I was taking painkillers when it was close to the time I needed to take them, but I wanted to see if I was getting better. And then I'm like, when the pain became unbearable, I would pop one, right? But those moments of pain just made, it's like the only thing I can think about. I was thinking of House of the Dragons, which will be playing today. So my plan is to finish recording before it pops up. And there was a scene in episode 2, it's not a spoiler, but actually any scene where the character is feeling pain, and they tough it out, and they're still on the battlefield. I'm like, I call bullshit. You ain't in pain. Now, I think it was just an I think this whole exercise was just in an experience of pain, being familiar with pain. But I guess if you're familiar with it, you could also, like, I'm thinking of the people who managed to, like, tough it through despite the pain. Granted, in movies, they'll show you, it's like, I just took a bullet wound. That shit's gotta hurt. But they're still like, bang, 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 bang. They're still fighting the enemies. And I'm like, wow. But again, it's cartoon. It's cartoon. I mean, not cartoon, but it's make-believe. It's make-believe. I'm sure people in the army or in military are trained to, like, fight through the pain. Not this computer nerd. Yeah. Yeah, that's it. Anyway, so all this to say that I'm feeling better, and thank God for healing. Thank God for healing.
So you're a philosopher?
Yes.
All right. I feel the need to talk about on my desk, the clutter that's currently on my desk. I have, in addition to the Burning series by Evan Winter that I bought last week, not last week, a few weeks. A few weeks ago, and bragged about the fact that I bought locally. Buy local, kids! I also have the Red Rising series by author Pierce Brown, which I didn't buy locally. I had to buy it off Amazon because I wanted to buy the whole series, all six books. And it looks good on my desk. I mean, I plan to put it on my bookshelf, but I just need to make... I used to get rid of a few books. And this is more me saying, crediting these two books for helping me develop an appreciation for this genre. Speaking of pain, when I'm reading these books and the main character is like in pain and still able to fight the enemies. That's not the point. It's at a moment realization why I enjoy these books, and it's the fact that I forget that the shit that I'm reading is not real. I'm so like caught up in the story that's what makes it so. How they makes they make their money, or how it makes how, what makes these authors so powerful is they put words on paper that have you like captivated. It's an amazing feeling. It's an amazing feeling. But yeah, no. But I am thinking about all these the main character suffering in pain, toughing it out, and still fighting the enemy. Yeah, I'm not it. I'm not the one. Yeah, man. If the end of the world. If I was the reason, if I was the person who had to save the world, if the world depends on me having to tolerate pain, yeah, fuck it. Kiss your ass, goodbye. We're all going to hell. Fuck it. Oh, yeah, and one last point. I want to make a point of, I want to accentuate the fact that I want you to notice that the book that I brought from a black author was available locally. And the books that I wanted to buy from a white man was not available locally. Use your third eye.
So you're a philosopher?
Yes.
All right. I just because I'm trying to be current, I sometimes forget. I get so caught up in my own world that I forget about current shit. I want to say a quick moment of silence for, is it Senator? Senator Lindsey Graham. All right. Just give me a second and give me a moment of silence. Oh, whoa. Hey, oh. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Come on. Come on. I said moment of silence. Come on. Stop it. Oh, man. Come on. It's the Sabbath. Come on. Black people, please stop. Folks, please stop. Oh, my God. Okay. Man, you out your goddamn mind if you thought this was the kind of podcast that be giving that nigga a moment of silence. Look. All right. I want to, I guess I know I'm being a little unclassy for some taste. Some people's standard, I am not here to dance on people's graves, but, huge butt, big ass butt, shorty got a big old butt. Anyway, it's big ass butt. I've been thinking a lot, especially like Charlie Kirk, Lindsey Graham, people in that world who spend their entire lives most of their career being known as being heartless. And the idea of them expecting the rest of us to have a heart, the same heart they didn't have for other motherfuckers when they die. I had to give this one some thought. The reason if I have more anger towards Charlie Kirk than I did while he was alive, it's the fact that there are people who expect me to give a fuck or to pretend like he wasn't a piece of shit for most of his life. I don't know the man personally, but I'm saying his career was based on I ain't no bleeding heart liberal. I ain't sensitive. I ain't no bitch. I don't give a fuck. I ain't no Care Bear. They lived the kind of life where they didn't expect someone like me to be like, RIP, fuck them niggas. I think that's the biggest, out of all the points that I'm trying to make in here, for behind the jokes that I just made earlier on, and behind the fuck that nigga. It's the idea of, what the fuck do you want from me? If I spend my entire life giving you a reason to say, fuck, be black. When I die, fuck it. If you want to be the bigger person and be like, oh man, pray for his soul, that's your prerogative. But I'm not expecting it. If I live the kind of life where you want to shit on my grave, then that's it. I think it's funny, it's because I'm going to talk about the church later on, but I am going to bring up is there was a moment in my life where I believed in all that shit, living in following Christ, living in service of humanity, being a kind human being. And then was shocked to meet people who laughed at that notion. Oh, what, you're going to feed the world? What are you, 12 years old? Oh, you want world peace? What are you, man? The world doesn't work like that. Like, I was considered a child for caring about other people. And then, but the people who were like cruel, mean, and all that shit, they were like realistic. They were the grown-ups. They were the adults. They were the smart one. I figured out this crazy life. You can't go through life giving a fuck. I mean, if that's it, then so, I mean, come on. Let's all, if it's every man for himself, then let's say so be it. I don't know. There was a moment where people like that had me feeling like suckers. And now that they're dead, I'm joining the people who are like, yeah, too bad your death wasn't slower. Good riddance. It's as if the concept of legacy only matters if you're like building a stadium. Or launching rocket ships, or like Steve Jobs was an asshole, but he's known for, he left a legacy. He made people money. That's his. But if your legacy was giving a fuck, it was like, what a pussy. Look, I'm just angry at this world. I spend most of my time trying to make sense of this crazy world. And if the anger you're hearing is just this. Fuck people. Fuck everyone who expects me to have something nice to say about this dead white man. Fuck. Man, I managed to piss myself off with this one. So yeah, man. So, yeah. Moment of silence. Suck my dick. Even though this podcast is called Shut Up Podcast. But yeah, man. Nah, man. Fuck that. Fuck that nigga for life. And if there is a hell, I'll see you there.
So, you're a philosopher?
Yes.
All right. Last one is, I didn't make any notes from it, but I felt the need to share it. There is a video, YouTube clip that I just watched, and I will share it with you. I'll share the links will be in the show notes. The title will be, The Writer Says Tourists Should Stop Judging America. And it's this white chick who writes this opinion piece. Okay, let me find her name because I'm going to try to sound like I'm a little professional. Kate Albin, writer and broadcaster. And she wrote an opinion piece. I think she's from Australia. She wrote an opinion piece is, I spent years defending the U.S. Now World Cup fans are seeing why. And the long idea is, yo, can we put, it's bullshit. Can we put politics aside? It's, can we stop hating? Long story short is, she's coming after everyone who's boycotting traveling to the United States over politics. That's why I would sum up her opinion piece. And to that, I'm saying,
shut your mouth, Kate, bitch!
Man, I ain't trying to hear that shit. I vow to never set foot in the United States until Taco Man is gone. Orange Taco is fucking gone. Cheeto, what do you want to call him? Cheeto, shit in my pants. Cheated on my wife, cheated on everyone who was stupid enough to trust me, president, until he's out there, excuse me, until he's no longer president, this is be clear, because I know the feds is top of my telephone. Anyways, yeah, until he's no, I'm not spending for, I'm, what difference does it make? Nah, man, it's like I'm so angry with the United States right now. And yes, and you know what? Not black Americans, I want to be clear. No, I'm cool. Black Americans are cool. The only reason I would go to the United States, it's got to be like Tupac is back from the grave, and he's doing a show, one-time show in Oakland. I'll risk it. Or I need guarantees. I need the FOIs, the Black Panthers. I need whatever black organization to follow me from the airport to my hotel, to the event, back to my hotel, and then back on the airport. And don't leave until my plane is in the air on Canadian soils. I don't trust these crackers. That's the other thing, too. There's the boycott, and then there's also the, I forget the name of this white lady who went, she's from Vancouver, and she went to the States, and they put her in not a shelter, one of those incarcerated. They locked her down. They locked her up for 2 weeks. They had to go for the file. Like, shit. Oh, sorry, ma'am. And they sent her home. But I mean, if they locked up a white woman, what fucking hope do I have? And especially with this podcast, God forbid, not that I expect TSA to listen to this podcast, but I hear that they've started going through your phone. God forbid they test me. So what do you think about President Trump? Oh man, is this a trick question? All right. One last thought is I was thinking about the last time I used to work in the States a while back. And apparently I'm a foreigner for referring to the United States as United States as opposed to America, America. Anyways, I remember when I was on a temporary visa, right? And then the visa was contingent to me having a job. I got laid off, which meant that it's time for you to beat it. But I remember when my coworkers found out that, I got laid off, and one of my coworkers was like, damn, dude, bummer, dude. Actually, bummer, dude. It's not her accent, but I'm like, but fuck it. For the sake of entertainment, I'm going to do this man, this accent. It's like, yeah, bummer, dude, guess you'd have to go back to Canada. And at first I'm like, the way she said it sounded like, oh man, looks like you'd have to go see your underdeveloped country. Third world nation, no running water having ass, no one shaves themselves, fucking savage, staff and discovered fire, fucking poor ass, broke ass, probably a bunch of savages, black savages running over. Okay, I'm exaggerating, I'm okay. But I'm like, bitch, I'm gonna be all right. The other thing, too, I think what the biggest takeaway or life lesson spending 2 years in the States, not that it was a bad experience, but I was there on a temporary visa, which meant that it was like, hey, as soon as this shit expires, get the fuck out. So I wasn't entitled to any like benefits, anything a citizen was entitled to, they made sure, yo, don't go to school, don't fucking go to, well, they don't have healthcare, but don't fucking apply for, Social Security, nothing. Sure, you can have a license, but, we'll let you breathe here. That's it. That's all you can do. Breathe, sure, you can pee, you can shit, but that's it. Don't even look at a green card or trying to marry one of our women. The biggest takeaway was realizing how good I had it. And I don't mean as a Canadian, I mean as a citizen of a country, of a developed country. You know what I mean? It was beautiful. I'm like, okay, first thing I did when I got back to Canada was get on Pogi. So Canadian. And with, yeah, Pogi is unemployment insurance. And they came through. Anyway, where I'm going with this. Oh, my God, I'm off topic. Yes. Kate Allman. Yeah, shut the fuck up, lady. She wrote that article for a white person who white Christian, cisgender, straight, heterosexual human being that will, okay, fine, we'll let you in the country. All right, I mean, you're Canadian, but we'll let you get. Just don't be speaking French here. Don't be speaking like the Mexicans. All right, that's it about travel. I went all over the place with this one. I Because I could. It's my goddamn podcast. I keep forgetting. All right. This concludes Quotables and Randomness. Now, what you all came here for, today's final say. But before we do that, before I do that, I'm going to take a very quick break. Nous sommes de retour. Did I mention I speak French? I'm realizing that I don't take enough advantage of the fact that I speak. Two things. I don't take advantage of the fact that I speak French. And two, the possibility I am drawn from the wrong well. Like, I don't expect, especially what I'm about to talk about, I don't expect. If it does happen, it's a miracle, but I don't expect people who've only mastered the English language to relate to the content that, okay, that's not from, that's not what I'm trying to say. What point I'm trying to make is I'm starting to think my target audience might be more the kind of people who either speak more French than English or speak both French and English. From Montreal, motherfuckers who grew up on TV Ontario and Télé-Québec. That's what I'm trying to say. if I had admitted it out, oui, je parle français. All right. I'll be honest. I'm realizing I'm kind of stalling because I am not sure where I want to go with this topic. But I do know that,
you know, I didn't come here to preach to you today.
I didn't come here to preach to you today. I'm considering titling this episode, White Jesus Doesn't Care About Haiti. And it's not going to be a theological conversation. It's not going to be, it's more, the thought came to me while I was publishing the last episode. And I followed up and had a follow-up conversation with my therapist. I found myself explaining the topic, and somehow, without going into details, I found myself thinking about how I needed to forgive myself or the self who used to be ashamed of being Haitian. Like, in the previous episode, I guess I forgot to say that previous episode was, I forgot what I titled it. I always forget what I titled it. Previous episode, fuck it, Spike. It's, we got, that's right. Okay, so this is kind of a follow-up to the last episode. And I react to Megyn Kelly's racist rant about Haitians. Go back to your fucking country! And it reminded me on how much I love being Haitian. But as I was talking about it at the beginning, I mentioned how I spent a significant portion of my childhood being ashamed of being Black, but most of all, being ashamed of being Haitian. And I, the solution to it, I remember I said the solution was two things. Is first, it was rap music that helped me say, hey, you're allowed to be proud to be black. But B, the pride in being Haitian came from two things that weren't, I mentioned how it was from going to high school and being surrounded by other Haitians, and their pride in being Haitian was contagious. The part that I left out that I was thinking about is I was also with some dudes, with folks, kids, who they weren't trying to hear that shit about you're not proud to be Haitian. They would kick the shit out of you. Okay. No, they would. You would have gotten embarrassed. You would have gotten kicked out from, thrown away from the herd if you had that mentality. And it's one of those, this is interesting. It's one of those, you weren't allowed to not be proud to be Haitian. In a way, my parents even had that mindset too. There was no way they would have tolerated me and been, I'm being Haitian. What? Blah, whatever. No, I mean, no, they would have been compassionate about it, right? But I think every Haitian kid can relate to that. Most or several Haitian kids can relate to a period of time where they were like, there was a shame or there wasn't pride in their identity as Haitians. And, but we were all told to like snap the fuck out of it. But me being the kind who likes to think shit deeply or feel things deeply, just snapping out of it didn't work. So yeah, all right, now I understand what I'm trying to say here is, I made the connection between how much or the role church played in my shame as a Haitian. This was during my formative years. First, I was thinking about, you know those posters that's no one's born racist and show a black kid or a white kid having fun and things like that. I hate those fucking posters, by the way, because then I gotta, you know, but yeah, but that white kid's gonna be a whatever. All right. But I am gonna come back and say that no child is born ashamed of where they come from. Do you know what I mean? Shame has to be learned. And where did it come from? And I'm thinking about how, no, I'm not saying that I went to the kind of church that said, oh man, fuck Haiti. Oh, you need to apologize for being Haitian. Haiti sucks. And oh, you Haitians. I went to a Haitian church with a few white people there. But at the beginning, I remember, this was the early days where there was no drums. It was a piano. There was a fucking, holy shit, we didn't have a band. So this is during my formative years. Even my dad would have been like, no fucking drums in here. Oh my, in the house of the Lord? Like, this was before Kirk Franklin. Way before Kirk Franklin. It was like, I mean, you still had the fiery sermons. Eh, not really. Whatever, you still had the sermons, but I'm a fucking kid. What do I know about sermons? But worship sucked. It's not like today where you could go to an African church, a Nigerian church, and they'll have like, boom, whatever. Okay, I'm not going to imitate a Nigerian church. Congo, Congolais, Jesus Christ, am I really going to forget how many countries? Kenyan church, a fucking Guyanian, Guinea. You know what I mean? Like, depending on the cultural representation, they'll most likely have elements from their culture in that church. And this one, no, they repressed anything about Haiti. Again, this was during my formative years. The only time we talked about Haiti, when it was time to pray for Haiti. Haiti was that place that we pitied. It was never celebrated. Fuck that, man. We never talked about whatever accomplished. If Haiti was in the soccer, in the FIFA World Cup, we wouldn't bring it up. Oh God, play. No, it was always saying, "Bon Dieu for my boy Haiti." Let me translate. You know, do something for Haiti. It's like the only time Haiti came up was for pity or to be like, oh my God, a fucking shithole. Pray for that shit. Dear God, help these niggas get their shit together. They didn't use those words, but they was just as well. It was never celebrated. There was never, okay, this is what I was trying to say. There was never, hey, let's talk about how Haiti was the first black republic. Are you fucking kidding? There's three white people in the audience. We're going to make them feel bad with Haitian, with black Haitian history? We can't talk about, we can talk about slavery, but let's talk about how God took us out of there. We're not going to talk about how God put us there in the first fucking place. And when I say God, white Jesus put us there in the first place. No, we're going to talk about how white Jesus got us out of it. And then we fucked it up with voodoo. So, you know, there was never talking. There was, I knew more Bible, I knew more stories from the Bible than I knew about Haitian history. Why are we always praying for Haiti, never celebrating Haiti? And oh, the worst. You know what we did celebrate? Canada. Canada. It was presented as the blessed country that allowed us dirty-ass Haitians to immigrate there. By the way, some of you people are fucking criminals, but we will tolerate. Well, Canada will tolerate you. Some of you motherfuckers are lazy. Sure, you work our taxis. Sure, you work in our hospitals. Sure, you're our janitors. But, you know, but for the most part, you niggas are lazy. I don't know if there was any eat the cats, eat the dogs back then, but it was like, it's like motherfuckers wanted you to apologize for being Haitian. Yes, Canada was celebrated. Haiti was presented as God's fucking problem. It's like, Jesus Christ, get your shit together. Constantly, Haiti was there just waiting for some miracle. Come on, help. God, please help this country become like Canada, except with black people. Why did I leave the church believing my country needed saving instead of understanding to what has been done? Yeah. This is where I might attempt to make a connection with my identity. What happens when you're a kid and every message you receive about your country is negative? You don't just think Haiti's broken, you start thinking you're broken. I don't know if I can blame the church for this disconnect, but I can say it didn't fucking help. I find myself thinking of what I gained from church and what I lost from church. So I made a note here. What the church stole: pride, curiosity about my own history, a healthy relationship with my identity, the ability to hear Haiti without immediately associating it with failure, poverty, or being cursed. When I think of Haiti's history, or how it is today, Haiti reminds me, I might call this episode The Cursed Witch. Haiti reminds me of the woman who defended herself against her abusive husband. Defending herself from abusive husband, left and strided on her own. Like, left them, divorced them, and then went on her own. And instead of the community applauding her, they cursed her. They treated her like a witch. So now she's a struggling, let's pretend she's got kids in this one. She's a struggling single mother. And the community doesn't see her as someone who overcame. They see her as, oh, the bitch who had it coming. They only see the poverty. They only see the struggle. They only see the hard part. They don't bring up the fact that her husband used to beat the shit out of her, stole her fucking money. No, they just see the poor woman who's struggling. And they I say witch because I'm thinking about the time where women were accused of being witches. But essentially you were like outcast from society. You were let go. So I think about, because I've heard people say, or even Haitians, bring it up. We fucked up by getting our own, by revolting against our slave owners. Being Haitian helped me having a Haitian identity, however you want to mix it up. Because this is another struggle I get. Because the thing is, I was actually born in Canada. So to Canadians, you're not Canadian. But to Haitians, you're not Haitian because you weren't born there. Not all Haitians, but you know what I mean. You're like, you're a man with no country. But speaking to my Haitian identity, grown up Haitian, I feel like I find myself being very familiar with how cruel, how unfair life can be. Because instead of being celebrated as the first black republic, no, you're that poor country that always needs help, that just can't seem to get it together. And yet, our biggest asset is our human capital. Is it human capital? Is that the word? I know there's a lot of Haitians in like high places making, working into, not to measure people by how much money they make, but working in high jobs with talented people, authors and all kinds of things. But they just can't, whatever. Okay, so it just reminds you of how cruel life can be. And sometimes, and I think this is my theory, is I think the reasons why some of us hold on to Christianity, it's because it's our only way to get us to feel like there is some kind of justice, there is some kind of balance, there is some kind of order in this crazy life. Matter of fact, I think we used to think of all the shit Haiti was going through, and we were convincing ourselves, oh, we're guaranteed. If those who have it the worst end up in heaven, then fuck yeah. Holy shit. I might as well sin for the rest of my life because fuck, I'm Haitian. I'm getting in for sure. You know what? I remember one of the biggest, I'm thinking of when I became an ex-Christian, when I broke away from Christianity and or stopped believing in the concept of hell. It was, I don't want to use the word traumatizing, but something, the idea, letting go of the idea that, oh, wow, I might die, and there ain't going to be no rhyme or reason. It's just going to be like, tough luck, nigga. You know what I mean? It's like the idea that slave owners won't be punished for this shit. We're just existing. Some of us end up with better cars than others. That's what life is. One big ass gambling, whatever. The universe is just, here's your set of cards, here's your set of cards, and here's your set of cards. I'm not complaining. I'm just saying it's the idea of life being unfair. That's the borderline idea of being unfair. I'm still unpacking this shit. I'm going to connect it to the last episode because the reason I bring up my shame and being, my childhood shame of being Haitian, it's because that's why we can make the same conclusion. That's why the Megyn Kelly rant bothered me at first. That's why it weighed so deep, because it touched on an old wound that hadn't been resolved. When I brought this up in therapy, I think I must have leaked out while speaking. I think they might have been wished that my parents had known better. I'm not blaming them, but it was more like, I've inherited whatever negative thoughts they might have about Haiti. There's a lot of Haitians who will tell you they're proud to be Haitians, but deep down, they've never addressed that wound. They believe the hype. They believe all that negative shit while faking it and trying to make it. I don't want to be like that. I guess that's really where I'm going with this. I don't want to be like that. I'm trying to like unpack this shit. And I'm not trying to convince people not to be Christians. Hey, look, when I rant about Christianity, by the way, on these on this podcast, which I will do because it's my goddamn podcast. But it's also, I'm not trying to talk you out of being Christian. What I do want you is to let me the fuck go. I don't want to hear no, oh, well, you should have looked at it this way, or God doesn't work that way. I don't want to hear that shit. I'm like, it's like trying to talk a divorcee into getting married again. Like, man, fuck that shit. If you want to be a friend, if you want to be a person on the side, is don't try to convert me. Just accept where I'm at and understand that, okay, those feelings are justified. He ain't trying to hear this Christian shit. And I guess the last point I'm going to make is trying to understand what happened to me. But I think is by addressing whatever it is, I don't want to, the best I can hope for, I don't become one of those Haitians passing on fake pride to the next generation of Haitians. If I'm telling you I'm proud to be Haitian, you hear it and you believe it. The words match it. As opposed to, how does someone who's proud to be Haitian belong and behave? But, you know, like, you don't see the contradiction. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. But bottom line, trying to say. Again, I'm not sure where I wanted to go with this one, but I just know it was an afterthought from the previous episode. It's also things that I wanted to touch on. But will the third episode be another one about Haiti? I don't know. Fuck it. It's my goddamn podcast. Who knows? But whatever. But what I do know is this concludes today's episode of Shut Up Podcast. Holler at me at shutuppodcast.com. The email address is shutuppodcast41@gmail.com. If you're a fellow countryman and you can relate to the words that I just spoke, holler if you hear me. Hear me. Shut Up Podcast, 401@gmail.com. Before I end the show, I want to remind you that this podcast is a safe space for my thoughts, and they're protected by the red, the black, and the green, with the red, black, and the red, blue.
Rouge et bleu.
I represent a hold it down for black folks who grew up watching TV Ontario and Télé Québec. I also represent a hold it down for black folks who said yes when they heard Big Rube ask,
"Are you an outcast?"
This episode was rated R and F. The F is for Fuck Whitey. Fuck White as a staff, record label, and as a motherfucking crew. I really want to say fuck the church while I'm at it, but when I say fuck Whitey, that also includes white Jesus. And by white Jesus, I mean the racist aspect. I'm talking about the version of Christianity that was sold to black people to pacify us, or to not think about the fact that we were kidnapped, stolen here, enslaved, and ain't got shit to show for it. Thank you for listening. Remember, please be kind to your favorite podcast. All right. Peace.
I'm black, y'all, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm black.